Let's give another hand of applause to those guys. Weren't they great? Really appreciate the hard work that they and the adults put in to help them to make that great story for us. So, fantastic. And they talked about his story. You know, we separate time all throughout history by that one act that occurred. Jesus Christ's birth and Jesus Christ's death. All of history is separated by that. And so all of history is about his story. So the theme of the play was his story. And you and I have heard it either by watching Linus and Peanuts Gang or here this morning. We've heard the story from Luke 2 time and time again. And it reminds us of there was no room in the inn, and the shepherds were repeating back the song that the angels told them, and Jesus gave birth in a humble way. And as the last narrator said, it's time to share his story. And she said, as you celebrate the greatest story ever told this Christmas season, remember that the God of the universe is right here with you. Emmanuel, God with us. So, we also have the story in Matthew's account. The Matthew's gospel occurs a little later in the story where the wise men come and they have the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And if you're like me, you have this willow tree thing which kind of blends it all together. And, you know, you got all of them together, all worshiping the child the same night with the stars and the angels all there. Not quite exactly right, but it looks great on the desk, doesn't it? But the problem is, for us, like the willow tree story, it kind of all blends together for us. Isn't that what happens sometimes? Sometimes extensive knowledge of a subject leads us to kind of lose respect for it. It all kind of blurs together. For some of us, if we're honest, we blend all of the history, all of the tradition, the wrappings, Black Friday shopping, parties, gift cards, lights, to one blended Christ mess, like our friends here.
Crinkle to your chimney. Good move, my man.
Oh, no, it's the star of Bethlehem.
Right, yeah. Bethlehem, North Pole. Same thing, right?
No, sorry. It's the star that, you know, the Magi.
Right, Magi.
What is the Magi?
I found something on the web about emojis.
The Magi, the wise men who came to see the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God.
Then he would grow up to become Santa.
No. He's going to grow up, and he's going to pay for the sins of the world.
Guess that'd be a pretty hefty price tag, huh?
Yeah. That's why it's called Christmas. Christmas.
Well, I wish you would have told me all this before I spent my Christmas bonus and all that junk over there. Thanks a lot. Merry Christmas.
No,
So, we see how it goes, right? But we get so busy. We get so busy with all the trappings. And so let's take a few minutes, take a deep breath and relax. And let's just take a few minutes to go back to the third gospel that talks about Jesus' birth. We mentioned in the play. We'll go back to John 1. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to John 1. I'll show it up here. Not a problem if you don't have it. And we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was with God in the beginning." So the first question we have to ask is, what is the beginning? Well, in the beginning, does it sound familiar? The first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:1 starts, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And what John is telling us here is that in the beginning, Jesus was there. He already existed before recorded time. He was with God and he was God. Jesus is eternal. He existed before the beginning of time. Now that just kind of blows our mind. I know. It's hard. And it gets even more wild. Jesus is fully God and exists in relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. The three of them, the three people of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, were together. We also go on to read this. All things were created by him. And apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and this life was the light of mankind. We get these simple things here, that Jesus is the creator of everything. Everything that exists came from God, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were there together at the beginning of time. And we also see this. Jesus is the giver of life. That is, he's the catalyst. He's the one who breathe life into men and women. And this giver of life was the light of mankind. So which is greater, light or darkness? The amazing thing is one single candle, one single spark of a match can pierce through the darkness and make it go away. And when Jesus said in the first words of creation, "Let there be light," it pierced through the darkness, and there was life, and there was light. But we don't just stop there. We go on to verse 14, and we read this amazing thing. "Now the Word became flesh." That Word that created the heavens and the earth became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw his glory, the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth, which came from the Father. And so Jesus became flesh. He took upon himself the form of a baby. And in Christmas season, we'd like to celebrate that, but we can't leave him there in the manger because he dwelt among us. He took up residence with us. He lived with mankind. And as people got to know him and understand his words, and see his miracles, and ultimately what he did in his life, they got to understand a little bit more than just that baby in a manger. Jesus became human to live among us. Now, Jesus became flesh, became a man, lived among us. And the question you have to ask, we see the what happened at God of the universe became flesh. We see where it happened. We see when it happened. But the question that we have to ultimately ask is, why? Why would the God of the universe love you and us, you and I? The reason why he would come to this earth is because he loves us. God is a personal God who loves his creation, especially the men and women that he created. And he loved us so much that he had to interrupt time. Why? Well, now we need to take a little detour about my story and your story. So, we sin. Each of us, if we are honest with ourselves, each of us. All we need to do is take a look at that quick look at that Ten Commandments. Lying, stealing, honoring my parents, coveting. Each of us, in our own way, has turned our back on God throughout our lives. And I sin because I am a sinner. I have that in my nature. I find creative ways all my life to shake my fist at God and say, I want to rule my own life. And the problem for us in this is, the Bible tells us that we are over here and our sin has separated us from God because we are not God. God is over there and he is holy. He is without sin and we're over here. So all my attempts to get to God are like me looking to trying to get across the Grand Canyon. You know, like if I go to church every week, that's like I'm going to jump out over the canyon and get 5 feet out there. If I maybe read my Bible or I give money to the poor or I do some act of service, I go to Columbia. It's the same thing. It always has the same effect. I end up down in the cavern. So that is the problem. But there is good news. The joy of the manger, the joy of what happened on Christmas Day is this. Jesus came down to us. Emmanuel, God with us. His life purpose was to take care of the problem we had about our separation from God. We read in 1 Peter 3, Jesus Christ suffered for our sins once for all. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the Spirit. The reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth was because he had to do the ultimate act of love, and that is to give his life for us. He died once for our sins, because I'm not holy, but he is. And God said, I need a sacrifice for those sins. I need to be straightened out. And Jesus Christ, when he died once and took upon himself all of our sins. And so we read on a few more verses. He was in the world, and the world was created by him. But the world did not recognize him. Remember, he created man in his own image, but when he came to earth, they didn't recognize him as God. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not recognize him. He created the world, he came into the world, and he lived among people, but the world did not recognize him as God. He even came in to live among his own people, the Jewish household. Mary and Joseph were Jewish. His own people did not receive him. That's really a sad story, a sad state of affairs. What I love about the Bible is God's love letter to us is that three-letter word we see so often. But we see our condition and we see what God does. The next verse, verses 12 and 13, tell us our side, our story in this. He says, but to all who received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become God's children. Children not born of human parents or by human desire or a husband's decision, but by God. So he says to anyone throughout history who believes in Jesus Christ as their Savior, he has given them the best gift. The best news, the right to become his children. The concept is that God adopts us into his family and he makes us his children. That's what he talks about later on in John 3. But it's not because we are born in the right family that we have the right bloodline. We're Jewish and so we just kind of inherit some rights. It's not by our human efforts at being good enough. Like my righteousness is somehow going to get me across that Grand Canyon. It's not going to happen. And it's not because we can pay our way. I can earn it somehow. I can, you know, find a way to do penance or some way to earn my way into God's family. It's not going to happen. But the good news is, but by God. The section started with a but and it ended with a but. And it's so important. The good news is it's done by God. It's a God thing. Our life with God is because of what he has done. So, this day and age, we live with a lot of fake news. You know, it's a really, really crazy time. You know, and we believe a lot in the world that Christmas is about Black Fridays, parties with friends at the office, Apple TVs, full parking lots. We get so distracted. Just a second. Sweet. It's going to be delivered. It's been delivered already. Oh, wait. Hey, Jen, we have to bring meatballs to the party tomorrow afternoon, so I'm sorry, sorry. We get so distracted by so many things that we forget that the infinite became an infant and he lived a life for us, God with us, so he could accept our penalty for sin on the cross and conquer sin's consequences by his victorious resurrection. Jesus gave himself and asked us to choose to accept his payment on our behalf. The problem we have is such busyness as we accept fake news. We have this concept maybe that, you know, I'm just not good enough. I know God loves people, but he doesn't know me. He doesn't know my story. And there's just no way that he would love me. His invitation was to any and all who would receive him. We can't get across the Grand Canyon on our own. We can't be right enough on our own. Jesus reached across the divide by coming down to this earth and bringing us to God. That's the great news. If I think I'm not good enough. On the other side of the picture, you might be one of those guys that says, you know what? I'm not good enough, but I'm sure better than that Josh Miles with that silly shirt on, or Bill Wendlandt, or this guy up here in the front. When I compare myself to him, you know what? I'm looking pretty good. Well, the problem is God doesn't grade on the scale. It's not that if I have just enough more righteousness in my bad deeds that God's going to somehow let me in. It's not about what I've done. Nothing I could do. It is about what he has done on our behalf. And the final piece of fake news that we sometimes latch onto is this whole concept of I can wait. You know, it's just not a good time for me with God. You know, I've got 3 kids in college and, you know, I just don't have time. I'm going to have a baby soon and maybe after that baby comes we'll settle down, or I got to find a wife. Or, you know, there's always an excuse to wait for later. And the sad thing, it's sort of like people in an airplane who are waiting to land. And, you know, they want to land, but, you know, it's not right time yet. You know the truth because you've heard it again, this story over and over again, but you just haven't landed. You just haven't come to accept his gift. The problem with that airplane is one of 2 things will happen. The one thing is someone will make a decision and land that plane. The second possibility is that the law of gravity will settle on. When the gas runs out of the plane, it will crash. And so we don't understand our lives. We don't understand when things are. We assume that we have an unlimited future. But this life is full of uncertainties. We know it. We see it all around us. So to all those things, I just encourage us. Let's just review. Jesus Christ created the world. God of the universe created the world. He created you and I. And then our sin separated us from him. Every man and woman, even those beautiful children, every one of us has been separated by God from by our sin. But he came to the earth as a baby in a manger, and he lived among us. And then he showed us his love when he died on the cross and rose again on our behalf. And then, to as many as receive him, he gave the right to be called his children. That's a great promise for us. So I just need to ask, his gift for you and me, is life. What will you do with Jesus? I've asked a talented young man to come up and share a song with us, and he's going to do that now. Please, you may reflect on the song. You might recognize the tune, but listen to the words. They're really fantastic. David?